Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, folks. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you virtually from our home here in Alpharetta. We're not back in our normal haunt inside Renaissance Bank on Windward Parkway, but we're looking forward to that someday soon, folks. In the meantime, if you're one of those small businesses or larger businesses, actually, that is a little tired of the impersonal service you're getting from your mega bank, but you want a bank that's big enough to handle your needs, well, try a Renaissance Bank. Go to renaissancebank.com. Find the nearest office. They have some 200 of them across the Southeast open and ready to serve you. When you call them, they'll actually answer the phone, which is kind of nice. And that's just your first tip that you'll get a more personal experience. And I know that myself, and that's why I've got clients with them. So check them out. You'll, I think, appreciate the way they do banking with their clients. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Ken Fainter, and Ken is with Social Glue, the Social Glue. I love that name, Ken. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about you and the Social Glue. How do you help folks out there?
Well, I guess our tagline kind of says it all. The Social Glue is social media marketing and email marketing that sticks. And that's what we really concentrate on, whether we're doing social media or we're doing email campaigns for our clients, is really getting their brand to stick with the people we're in front of so that the people remember our clients. That's what it's all about. You know, it's so important that as a small business, or like you said just a second ago, any size business, that their message gets out there and that people remember the message. So that's what we really concentrate on.
Let's talk a little bit about traditional marketing and social media marketing and the dynamics of those two areas of marketing, how they differ.
All right. That's perfect. And when you think about this, everybody knows kind of what a funnel looks like. A funnel is really big at the top and then really narrow at the bottom. And traditional marketing really is that funnel. Traditional marketing is you go out, yes, you target your market as best you can, whether it's with radio or TV or newspaper or even billboards. You know, you try to put them in the right places. You try to have your ads in the paper in the right section and that type of thing. But the odds of somebody actually needing your services when they see that ad is slim. So you have this, even though you try to market as best you can, you try to, you basically have this very wide group of people that you collect at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those funnel down and actually become customers. What you do with social media, email marketing, you flip it. You start very, very small. You start with a handful of people a lot of times. You start with a social media account that a lot of times is just friends and family, and you ask them to tell people about your Facebook page and your Twitter account, and you try to get more and more people who are interested in what you have to say. And as that happens, you actually start to get advocates for your business, people who love what you're doing and start telling their friends and family about it. And what's so great about both social media and email marketing is it's real easy to share that information. If you post something on your business Facebook page and people love it, so easy for them to click it and share it now instead of with one or two people, they're sharing it with hundreds of people on their page. Mm. I equate that to the old, the picket fence or whatever. My mom used to go out and hang up the laundry, and she would right across on the other side of the fence was another, clothesline. And the neighbor would be hanging up her laundry. It was amazing how she go out to hang out her laundry, and 5 minutes later, the other lady's out hanging, and they're out there for 30 minutes talking.
Sure.
And she comes in and she tells my dad, hey, we got a new restaurant we got to go check out because that's what the neighbor just told my mom about. It's the same thing, except really on steroids now. Instead of just telling one person, you're telling everybody that knows you on social media about this new business or whatever that you've been introduced to by sharing information about them. So that's super important. The same thing, email is real easy. You get an email and it has maybe an offer in it, or sometimes it's just great content, great news information. And you go, oh, I know 5-6 people that would be interested in this. And you forward it to them. So that's really the difference. You start with a very large group of people with traditional advertising and work your way down to what someone who might become a customer, which is a lot of effort. Where on the other hand, you start with people you know, you market to them, and the word starts to get out about you. And it's the old business analogy. It's easier to keep a customer than to go out and find new customers. So if you can keep the customers that you have, keep them happy, and then they start to become advocates for you, your business will grow.
Now, you mentioned, Ken, email marketing in there. So let's get to that. Okay. And a lot of us get a lot of email. You know, talk more about that and whether, you know, a lot is too much. Is email marketing dead? Is it still effective? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, a couple of years ago, I went, there's a organization here in town, a group of online marketers, and they had a guest speaker come, and he's a renowned marketer who basically helps consult large multi-billion dollar companies about their email marketing. And he said something that night that just blew me away. He said, you can send an email a day. You can send 2 emails a day. And people will keep opening them and reading them if the content is of value to them. And that really made me think. There's many times when I've been on, you know, a Macy's site or some large business site, and I order something from them, and in the process of ordering something, I click, yes, I'd like to get updates. And it usually starts out 1 or 2 updates, you know, a week. And then all of a sudden I'm getting 1 and 2 messages a day. But sometimes it's 2-3 years before I decide, okay, enough is enough, because they're sending me stuff that I'm actually interested in. So I find that with most businesses, if they do just a monthly newsletter, and they provide really good, valuable content, people will continue to open that. It's amazing to me, myself, when someone calls me and I go, well, how did you hear about me? And they go, oh, I've been receiving your newsletter for 7 years. And I go, oh, wow, you're really? You know, and they're like, yeah, I met you at a meeting and you started sending me your newsletter, and I open it every month, and I saw that you're now doing this, or you helped another business very similar to ours, and so I want you to help us. So it's amazing how using email marketing will actually, I mean, it's not that it takes 7 years for people to contact you, but it's nice that people continue to stay in touch, or you're staying in touch with them. And when they need your services, they'll contact you. And for something like as little as $20 a month, you know, I can't think of any business out there that can't afford that, to be able to stay in touch with their customers. I also have cases where I set up a client, they're all nervous about sending that very first email out because they're like, what if something's wrong? Or what if people hate me? Or, you know, whatever. They get anxious about it. And I say, this is what's going to happen. We're going to send this email out, and you're going to hear from people that haven't talked to you in years, that were used to be customers, that you've kind of lost track of, but you still have their email address. And I have not had a time where that hasn't happened, where someone writes to them and says things. And this is usually because of the way we design our emails. They'll write, oh, so great to hear from you again. You know, let's stay in touch. Just really nice comments back. One person, the gentleman was like, you know, why, you know, shouldn't the email have this and this and this and this in it? And we're like, no, we keep our emails very short, very sweet. Someone should be able to read your email in usually, you know, 30 seconds to 45 seconds at the most. Hmm. It should have no more than 25 lines of text in the email. It should be very easy to just browse through, but there should be links in there that will click to read the rest of the story, so that if someone finds something they're interested in, they'll read the rest of the story. That helps you two ways. That helps you learn what people are actually interested in, but it also lets people know that your emails aren't going to take up all of their time. They'll be able to read through your email quickly, find out if there's anything interesting or not, and then move on. We did that for a client, and people actually wrote him back and said, thank you for your email. It was short and sweet. Loved it. So that's our goal.
That's awesome. Ken, great story. Now, you talked about the value of having great content, the kind of information that people are look forward to, actually, and not just tolerate, they look forward to it. So how do I know when I've got great content versus I'm being too salesy in my emails?
Well, I think sometimes you'll know if you're asking for that order, or you're asking people to click here to order all the time, you know, you're going to have issues in email marketing. A lot of times what we do for our clients is the stories have nothing to do about the client personally. We find stories online, that have to do with their industry, that have to do with, their types of products. And we share those stories, like why people are using a particular product now more than ever, that type of thing. And so, we will go out and find those stories. I'll give you an example. We have a client who is a real estate photographer, and he was struggling, like, well, what do I put in there? Do I put just pictures of houses I've taken? I'm like, no, your target audience is realtors. We need to help them know what's happening in the Atlanta market. And so we share things, about, for example, that, you know, the one, I forget the network, but one of the cable networks that has one of these reality real estate shows is filming here in Atlanta right now.
Mm.
And actually one of them is filming up at one of the lakes around Atlanta, and it's Lakeside Living or something like that. And so we share those types of informations in there. We share success stories of how realtors are possibly using, virtual marketing now. They can go into an empty house and stage it virtually. They don't have to bring furniture in, but they can drop in sofas and curtains and things like that to make possibly what used to look very outdated look very new and fresh. But it's all done with graphics, and people click on those images and they automatically see themselves living there. So we share those types of stories so that people will start to understand that what we're providing them, what he's providing them, is good content, and it's not all about him.
Good words here from Ken Fainter, and he's with The Social Glue. Ken, you're a constant contact solution provider. Yes. Certainly want to know what that means, but before you get to that, you've been really active with Constant Contact. We were talking about this before we came on the air. Why Constant Contact versus a lot of the other services that are out there?
Well, I could say that, well, they were the first one I came across, but that wasn't exactly true. I work with a couple of other email services, just touch and go, but they were kind of the very first ones that I was introduced to years and years, I mean, years ago. I used to be in the entertainment business. I helped record stores all over the country, with their marketing. And I did that through the record labels. The record labels actually helped pay for the advertising that I did for these record stores. And I had a client down in Orlando, Florida. And at the time, iTunes had really been killing a lot of music stores, and their store was still thriving. And I asked them, I said, what are you guys doing? I mean, their stores closing left and right. How are you guys still growing and opening a second location? And he goes, we send out a newsletter every single week with our new releases so that everybody knows what's going to be in our store on Tuesday morning. And I go, really, what is that? And can you send it to me? And they sent it to me. And it turned out it was a Constant Contact email. Now, back then, you had to know how to code. It was almost like building a website from scratch, creating one of these newsletters. You had to upload your image, but then you had to give it a name, and then you had to know coding. You had to know all this stuff. Constant Contact knew that people couldn't do that all the time. So they started creating drag and drop solutions. But the short of this is, what happened was, this business is still in business today because they stay in touch with their customers. Mm. They're in constant contact, basically, is if you want to look at it.
Sure.
And I went to work for another business later on, and I said, I see you have a Constant Contact account. They go, yeah, we've never used it. And I go, really? I said, I would love to get in there and work with this. And so I did, and sent out the very first newsletter, and they got one of their biggest clients from that newsletter because I was talking about a gym that they had helped with their social media. And we immediately get a call from another client, wasn't a gym or anything, but they were like, if you can help them, I know you can help me. You know, let's start working together.
Mm. And
first email paid for probably 3 years worth of constant. Client they got paid for about 3 years worth of constant contact.
Right.
So it's something that works and works well.
Now, okay, I'm sold on that, but let's talk. It sounds like you've got some additional certification on Constant Contact, because this term solution provider is here in my show notes in quotes. So that sounds like something that's a certification you got along the way or something like that.
Yes. I've been working with them as a solution provider. And years ago, they used to have another category called Authorized Local Expert.
Mm-hmm.
And I was an Authorized Local Expert for many years. And that means that I have taken tests. I have done other things to understand their platform. I'm also certified to be able to go out and speak on their behalf. In other words, I can go out and actually put on a Constant Contact session for them. So I know the product inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been amazed, especially in the last couple of years, how much they've added to their email marketing platform. Anybody who has a Constant Contact account can also go in. They'll see a button or a tab that says social, and you can click on it, and it's going to allow you to connect your Facebook and your Twitter and your LinkedIn and your Instagram to your Constant Contact platform, and then be able to send posts out from there to all of your social media platforms. The thing I really love about the Constant Contact platform is, you can write your first post, but then for each platform, you can tweak it, because every platform has a slightly different language. If you use too many characters, Twitter is going to, chop it off and turn it into a link or something like that. If you're trying to send stuff, for example, you're trying to make a Facebook post and a Twitter post, they might actually turn it into what looks like a Facebook post. And no one on Twitter is going to click on that link if it has face in it, because they know they're going to go to Facebook and they're in Twitter. So you want to be careful how you do these things. And Constant Contact really does it right, where you can go in and you can see that, oh, I've written too much for Twitter. Let me go in and re-edit this for Twitter, and yet schedule it all to go out at the same time if you'd like, or you can have it scheduled to go out on different days. It's really, they've really put a lot of thought into that end of it. You can also place regular Facebook ads through Constant Contact, and you can place Facebook lead ads through Constant Contact. And the thing they most recently added was Google AdWords. You can now place your Google AdWords through Constant Contact.
Now, one thing you mentioned too about Constant Contact that I thought was very interesting as we were chatting before we came on the air is their continued devotion to smaller businesses, smaller clients. I mean, that's not sometimes what we find with companies as they get bigger, right. You know, and they become market leaders. They kind of tend toward forgetting the people that got them there and focusing on the bigger clients, right?
I think we've all worked for companies like that. Sometimes you go like, you forgot who brought you to this party.
Yeah, exactly. And you talked about how Constant Contact is not been that way. Talk about that a little more, if you would.
Sure. A couple of years ago, they came out with this great campaign. And the first time I saw it, I almost cried. I might have even cried, but I won't really admit that. but it talked about how many people start businesses each year, and within 3 years, sadly, that business is out of business. Mm. And it's not because they had a bad product. It's not because they were bad business people. A lot of times it was because they just didn't know how to get the word out about their product and how to stay in touch with their customers. We're all super busy. And Constant Contact has always wanted to improve the way people communicate with their customers. And yes, for 10 or more years, it was just email marketing. And now they've added social media. They've added websites into their list. They've added landing pages. You can make a variety of landing pages on Constant Contact now. You can go to services where you can pay a monthly fee to have landing pages. You can even have people design landing pages for you. And it costs you maybe $1,500 to get a professionally designed landing page with all the URLs and everything you need to be able to link to it. And you might be happy doing that. But if you have a $20 subscription to Constant Contact, you know, and you have 1 to 500 contacts, which is what they charge for a $20 subscription, you have access to free landing pages and things like that. They really want to help small businesses succeed.
Mm. Wow. That's pretty compelling. As folks, we're here with Ken Fainter with the Social Glue. Ken, talk about some of the mistakes you see out there that folks make, whether it's email marketing or social media.
I think you touched on it a little bit earlier. A lot of them try to be too salesy. Sometimes they put too much sales information in there, or they talk too much about products. They don't really educate their customers. And sometimes education is really the best thing that you can do. People start to see you as the expert when you start to inform them about what makes your product maybe better, how you're positioned in the market a little bit better than another customer or another client. Maybe the other client is twice as big, three times bigger than you. Well, maybe that's your advantage, is that you're able to provide services that they don't even want to deal with. So you need to explain those things to people, but do it in a way where you're not selling to them and you're educating them. Education is a very powerful tool nowadays. People, I think it's the percentage is 85% of people or looking for a new business or looking for a business to work with, will do their research online before making that first phone call to that business. So when someone is calling you, they've educated themselves. So if you can help them with that education process, there's a better chance they're going to come to you. If that's what you've helped them with. And I think that's one of the biggest problems. I'll give you a real quick example. There was a client down in Savannah, Georgia. Wasn't my client, but as a Constant Contact solution provider, we all share stories. Mm. And this was a success story for this particular solution provider. The lady contacted her. She said, "You know, I started with Constant Contact 2 years ago, and you know, everything was going great. And now my open rate is under 12%. I'm getting, you know, 9% open rates or whatever." And the solution provider said, "Send me your last three emails. And she sent them to her, and she looked at them, and she immediately called her up, and she said, all this is an email that says, save 25%, save 50%, you know, save, you know, 40%, whatever. She says, that's all you're doing. You're not providing any value to them. Why should they open it? The only reason they're going to open it is because they know they're coming to your store this weekend and they want to get 40%. You know, that's the only reason why anybody's going to ever open your email now, because that's what they expect. She said, she started talking to her, and she says, well, you know, do you have any success stories? And the lady said, oh yeah. A lady came in. It was a health product store, and she bought some of our soap to help her with her eczema, and it cleared it up, and she came back raving about it. She said, you need to write that story down. Talk about the brand of soap. You're not putting that soap on sale or anything. You're just going to talk about this lady came in, she bought this soap, and now she's raving about it. Ask her for a quote and put her quote in the email, and, you know, create emails like that. Well, the lady started doing that, and she said, now, if occasionally you want to feature an item, put it at the bottom of the email and put a click here to learn more. And it'll take them to your website. They can learn about the product at your website. But don't sell. You know, if when you start to do that, people start to not open your emails because they know exactly what's inside.
Sure.
You want to always be providing great content that they're interested, that they want to open up and read. The other common mistake I see, and I would like to say that this is a rare thing, but I see it all the time. People get really lazy with their subject line. And so they write January newsletter, February newsletter.
Right.
They don't write, you know, five reasons that can help you with whatever. Or if they're an accountant, you know, 10 tax tips to save you money. You know, they just put January newsletter. Well, someone, you know, thinking about April coming up and they're getting something from their accountant and it just says January newsletter, they don't open it. But if it says 10 tips to save you on taxes, they're going to open that newsletter if they're in business. Mm. So, that's what we try to do. A lot of times we do that because we actually create the newsletters for our clients. So they just kind of sit back and let us do it all. And other times we will advise them when we get a, you know, get someone saying like, people quit opening my newsletter. You know, I'll say, well, let me look at your newsletter. You know, that's when I'll get involved with them and try to give them advice.
What is the open rate that you should have on your newsletter? I mean, what's good? What's not so good?
In, one of the things Constant Contact has in their email marketing is the ability to put in your industry type, and it will tell you whether you're doing good for your industry or poor for your industry. Overall, if you're not getting at least an 18% open rate, you're doing something wrong. You know, a lot of our clients get 30, 40. We've even had some clients that regularly get 50%. A lot of times the clients that get the really large ones are nonprofits. People are invested in that nonprofit. It's almost like we also have some churches that we work with. So those people are going to open it every week because they want to see what's going on either with the nonprofit or at their church that week. But as businesses, a lot of times people don't open them every single time. Constant Contact has done something which and a couple of others, I think, do this also, but you send out your email and you can say 4 days later, send my email out again, but only send it to the people who didn't open it. And it's amazing. If you just change that subject line just a little bit, Constant Contact, what they do is they just put reminder at the front automatically and then have the same subject line in the second newsletter. Just putting that word reminder will usually cause about a 15% more open rate.
Oh, wow.
So just doing little things like that. And you have to, all you do is click on it and say, yes, send it out 4 days later. They recommend a minimum or a minimum of 4 days. You don't want to send it out the next day or 2 days later. Usually wait about 4 days and then send it out again, but it only goes to the people who did not open. That's the thing about email marketing. You know who's opened, who's clicked on things inside your newsletter, what they clicked on, and you can capture all that data.
Good words here, folks, from Ken Fainer, who is the owner of The Social Glue. Ken, I'd love to hear a success story if you've got one you'd like to share that you're particularly proud of.
This one actually just happened, I can literally say, this morning.
Oh, wow. Okay. Fresh news here from Ken Fainer, folks.
Right. Yeah. It's a campaign that I worked on actually for my church. Mm. And what's happened because of social distancing and everything like that. I'm part of the Knights of Columbus, at our church, and our charity almost pretty much every single month has a dinner of some kind. And we have not been able to do any types of dinner at the church for the past 6 months. And so we started talking and we decided, what if we do a takeout only where people can social distance? We create the dinner, we pack it for them, they pick it up, they take it home and enjoy it. And so a lot of times with our dinners, we will usually have anywhere from 90 to maybe 100, 200, but, we'll usually sell about 120 dinners sometimes, Well, we launched this using Constant Contact, and I helped them put this all together, and using their Wix website, we put a shopping cart on there and we made these turkey dinners. It's a full turkey dinner with cranberry sauce and mashed potatoes and green beans and roll and a dessert. We put that on there and we use Constant Contact to let everybody know about it.
Mm-hmm.
We closed it out last night. And as of this morning, we had 174 dinners sold virtually. And now the job this week is to get all those dinners, made up and then ready fresh, for people to pick up Saturday afternoon for Saturday evening. So what sometimes would be a 120 dinner, evening, we actually ended up with 174 dinners.
Wow.
All done virtually. So I'd like to, congratulate the Knights for their hard work, but also to our parish for chipping in and participating. But it was all through staying in touch with them and using Constant Contact basically to get the word out with a simple click here to order button.
Wow, that's awesome. Great work, and congratulations to you and your folks at the Knights of Columbus. Great organization. So congratulations on that. That's a great story.
Thank you.
So Ken, if someone's heard something that they would like to follow up with you on, or would like to talk about your services generally, how can they do that?
Easiest way, they can go to thesocialglue.com and find my contact information there. They can, just give me a call. I do pick up the phone or they can fill out a form online and write their questions down and give me their phone number and I will call them back. So either way, works fine. I love talking to folks. I'll spend, 15, 20 minutes with somebody just seeing if I can help them, over the phone. It doesn't have to be, with the intent of them becoming a client. If I can point them in the right direction, I'm happy to do that.
And it's Social Glue as in GLOO. So
correct. My wife came up with that at the time.
Right.
The regular spelling of glue was not available.
Okay.
And my wife came up with this and we took it.
Awesome. And, Something tells me you've already kind of shouted it out, but you can sign up for your newsletter there, right? So
you can.
You could see how good good email newsletters work. So that's awesome. Ken Fainter from The Social Glue, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Folks, just a quick reminder that if you've got some administrative tasks that you need help with, maybe you need some bookkeeping help, Essie Escobedo is the person that I would recommend you call. I recommend her because I use her myself in my business and outsource information or work to her and her angels, and they fly in on an as needed or regular basis and get the job done and fly back out. And they've been doing it virtually for 18 years now. And, so the pandemic environment is nothing new to them. So give her a call, and you can reach her at 770-442-9246. She answers her phone too, by the way. And you could also, check her out online if you'd like to first, officeangels.us. Essie Escobedo is her name, and she's terrific. Folks, just another quick wrap-up as we walk out of this episode of North Fulton Business Radio. You can find us on all the major podcast apps. Yes, we're on all of them. I haven't been stumped on one we're not on. So North Fulton Business Radio is a search term. Find us, subscribe. We'd love it if you give us a great review, and it's because it's not about us. It's about the guests we have and promoting the great work they're doing. So it helps folks find the show, and they may need to see Ken or others that we've had on the show over these past 4 years. We were up to almost 300 guests or 300 shows, I should say, over the past 4 years, going on about 550 guests. So, check us out there, and you can also follow us on social media. I'd be ashamed to say that you couldn't after this show with Ken, but we're at North Fulton BRX. We're on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter on those three platforms. So for my guest, Ken Fainter, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.